It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining us now is Pastor Sainz Marandure, who's going to be helping us answer our question for today. Once again, Pastor Marandure, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for welcoming me. Thank you so much. We hope God is going to definitely talk to us.
Indeed. Mfundisi, our question for today says, how do we understand the concept of sin? I do understand there are things we tend to confuse with sin. Things like things we don't like. And we say, sinful, it's sinful. And yet it's not sinful. You just don't like it. Things that are unpleasant to watch, we then say, it's sinful. It's like parents disciplining their children. People tend to say it's sinful, even though sometimes it's not sinful. So what exactly is sin? What is our understanding of the concept of sin?
Okay. Maybe just to start with, sin is a bit of a challenge for us to define it as human beings, what it is, because it is a mystery how it came about and how it is. All that we see are things that would then say these are the results of sin and this is what sin is all about. However, the Bible is clear when it talks to us, maybe in a language we understand, that it is to go against the will of God, or in short, disobedience, then that is what is coined as sin. And yes, I like the way you have put it there, that maybe as human beings, we can as well then say, because I don't like this thing, then that becomes sin. I'm not in favor with this, that becomes sin. However, wherever there are set standards, and those set standards are not met to satisfaction, then that becomes a missing of the mark, which then can be translated into sin. But then there are things that we may be doing towards each other as human beings, which are not part of sin, as in the sin that may make us to fail to get to heaven. Because sin by its definition is haramatia, that's in Greek, which simply means missing the mark. So this is a set standard and somebody has failed to meet the standard. Okay, for example, let me try to come back closer home. We are playing tennis mate, lawn tennis, and even if tennis, there's a net that we need to go over as we play. So if the ball failed to go over, it has failed to meet the standard that is set. So we can almost say that's sin, but that's not something that will make me not go to heaven, but just a missing in the mark of a set standard according to us who are here. So we need to be clear on that one. We cannot then say the wrongs that are done to me or that we do amongst each other, and then we say everything totals off to
sin. Yeah. So help me understand, Mfundisi. Does God give us a definition? Because it appears as though we are using the dictionary to define sin. We appear not to be defining it according to some scripture. Is there a scripture that gives us a direct definition of the concept of sin?
Yes. There is. This we find from the very first beginning, when God gave some instructions to Adam and Eve not to partake of the tree that was in the midst of the garden,
right,
or have anything to do with it. And the consequences that came after touching or getting in contact would be definitely death. And this is what happened. So they missed the mark of being obedient. And because they were not obedient, and then death came. So now that's what we hear now in the book of Romans, where around chapter 3, verse 23, chapter 6, verse 23, thereabout, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in other words, by sinning, we're simply coming short of the glory of God. And the reward thereof is death. So whatever will then translate into a reward of death becomes sin.
I understand, Mfundisi, so that's how you have, as theologians, connected the verses, but there is nothing in the first three or four chapters of the book of Genesis that defines sin there. I'm looking for a definition of sin. Do we have a scriptural definition of sin?
Yes. Okay. Where we find sins, okay, sin will not be there when everything is okay. When everything is moving on well, we do not have sin. When there's peace, there's tranquility, there's harmony, there's all the obedience of God in place, we do not have sin. The moment the disobedience kicks in, that's what now the Greeks would define as hamartia. Now that's the missing the mark. So it's up to how we call it. We call it sin. We're saying you've missed the mark. You call it, you've come short of the glory of God. However, the truth underlined is that whatever is done in disobedience of God, bringing disharmony, becomes a sin. We may not, let's say in the first three chapters, there's no way we're told God is saying, this is sin. This is sin. But the very disobedience to what he had said is what now we are told in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 10, as it goes on, where the Bible says, if you are not careful to keep the whole 10 commandments, and if you happen to break one of them, you are guilty of all. So therefore, the commandments, then they define what we ought to live by. And should we fail to live according to the commandments, then that becomes disobedience, which is also defined as sin.
So I'm hearing you saying there is a lot of ways in which we could ascribe meaning to the concept of sin, but there is no biblical verse that teaches us exactly what that is. So we are deducing from the various texts that you're referencing that this is what sin should mean. So we could be wrong. We could be missing the mark as we speak, because the text does not say specifically this is sin. We are simply using language.
Yes. Well, language also is how we define things. We use
only
language.
In this context, there is nothing else you have offered except for the dictionary.
I'm trying to bring from the dictionary, defining the words that we find in the Bible.
I understand.
The Bible
has, I understand.
Yes, has many positions, or rather verses or texts where it's talking of sin. You know,
right.
You're talking of Romans chapter 6, chapter 6, verse number 8. It goes on to say that through baptism, we are likened to the one who is dying into sin and all that and that. So these words are just
Mfundisi, did you say Romans chapter 6, verse 28?
No. It should be verse 8.
Oh, verse 8. Okay. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him.
Ah, okay. Yes. So it's still coming to the point where, okay, it's not explicitly talking about sin there, but the concept that we find in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23 there, that talks of death as a result of going against God. I like the approach that you are trying to pitch up there to say we are having our own way of saying things that may not be true. Because if you check in the same Bible around Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned. It's talking of sinning there.
Right.
Which is, for all have sinned, which then I was saying, according to the dictionary, that word is naturally in Greek.
Yeah.
And in Greek, it's written as hamartia. And then because of that, how do we define it in our English language that we can understand better? It is simply to say someone has missed the mark. Someone has failed to live up to standard.
Right.
It's something like that. So we are finding this word sin dotted around the Bible. But now the Greek is helping us to understand, what is sin?
Is there the concept of sin in the Old Testament? Do we find the word or rendered in the Greek, for example, in the Hebrew?
Definitely, we should. Definitely should. I may need to look up to it, because we cannot find this coming up from the New Testament, pitching up, and yet it's not there in the Old Testament.
Okay.
They rather mirror each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So they rather mirror each other. Though right. The New Old Testament then is written in Hebrew.
Yeah.
We may then find in Hebrew what it meant. Was it the same definition they had in Greek? But definitely they cannot be saying something that would be, different than right. That would mean the Bible is simply complicated or fighting against each
right,
other.
Right.
But the concept of sin emanates or finds its roots from the very fact that it is disobeying.
Right. Right. So the reason why I was asking is because the Hebrew, for example, in the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, it's God here who's introducing the first time I notice God introducing the concept of sin. He's speaking to Cain, who killed his brother Abel. And I'm going to read the verse to you, and then you can perhaps help me understand. God is saying, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you refuse to do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. You are its object of desire, but you must master it. And the word used there for sin is hatat, which is an offense. It's penalty, occasion, sacrifice, expiation, and offender. So here, it's not described as missing the mark. It's described as an offense. So quite frankly, I could shout at you, and because you're offended, that could be regarded as a sin as far as chatat is concerned, which is the Hebrew rendition of the very same word, sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very true. Yeah, you're actually on point there. It can be also be identified as an offense. Because the moment you're saying, like you're saying, I'm offending someone,
right.
It means simply you are going against the person.
Yeah, and then that bothers me there for this, because people get offended by all sorts of things. It bothers me because now, if we're going to say offense, then when you say to your wife, that dress doesn't look good on you, she gets offended, that's a sin, which means you're going to hell.
No, okay. Okay. No, that's what we had said earlier on to say. It's so true that a person can be offended. Okay, well, you don't talk of offense when there's no set rule or set standard that a person has. You talk.
So it's a legal offense.
Yes, it's something that,
okay.
That's legally
not an legally emotional bind. Offense.
Yeah, it's legally binding. So
lovely.
There are some things that I have that I say, this is who I am. This
right,
is
right.
How I speak, this is how I want to conduct, this is how I dress, this is what I do.
Right.
But if you got these principles that I have that makes me, then I'm offended because you've gone against these principles that make me. And the same thing applies with God. We went against the principles that make
right.
Who God is.
Right.
So that became sin. You've offended and of all that. But like I like what the approach you're saying now. If my wife will go against my principle or I go against her principles, that doesn't mean.
Mfundis, are you still there? Okay. Seems as though that is how WhatsApp decides to cut off our conversation on that very note. All right, I'm going to leave the pastor right there. Mfundis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, so go ahead.
So we're saying it doesn't mean what my wife, if my wife will go against my principles or I go against her principles,
right.
I will definitely go to hell. No,
yeah.
No, that's
it different. Doesn't work like that.
That's
yeah.
A different.
Right.
No, it doesn't work. Yes, but there could be maybe principles that I follow, but they are biblical. and that makes me, and this is biblical, listen, I don't eat pork.
Right.
And she prepares pork.
Right.
And she knows I don't like pork, but she'll prepare it and she'll bring it to the table, and I'm assuming she knows. And not assuming, I know that she knows.
Okay.
But she just chooses to trick me
right
into eating it without me knowing.
Mm.
And I'll eat that thing. And I'll ask, hey, this is a funny kind of a testing. What animal is this one?
Yeah.
And say, ah, no, is this game meat? I found, oh, yeah, game. Okay, fine.
Right, right.
But the moment I'll know that she had intentionally prepared pork for me
right
to trick me, that becomes an offense.
Right.
Which will not just offend me, but this principle that I have, I took it from the Bible. So
right.
It's biblical.
Right.
Then she deserves to go to hell because she intentionally chose to make me disassociate with my God.
Okay. Whoa. 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 So Eve is going to hell because she intentionally fed Adam the fruit that she knew she was not supposed to feed him. So by your theory, Eve is going to hell.
Yes, she definitely has to. Thank God because of the grace of Calvary, then she won't be going there. However, but definitely she was bound for that. And even Adam himself was responsible for eating that fruit because he also knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So he was also bound. I mean, no wonder why we are suffering anyway. These are the consequences. It did not because of Calvary and forgiveness and the grace of God.
Right.
Those guys were not supposed to make it to heaven. But
right.
They'll make it to heaven. Just we are going to make it to heaven, even living a sinful life,
right,
asking for forgiveness almost every day. So that's what it is. Then maybe she'll then say, hey, I had to prepare this pork because I was angry with you, blah, blah,
right,
blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
But I'm so sorry with tears. I'm so sorry. She does the same thing with their God. I mean, wants to make it to heaven anyway.
Okay. Yo.
We are sincere.
Yo. Okay, Buddhist, thank you very much for coming through and talking to us, giving us your answers. We really appreciate the insights. Talking to you tomorrow. Looking forward to your answer tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further, Mfundisi, and thank you very much once again.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Be blessed, eh?
All right. Right back at you, Mfundisi. All right. That's our Ask a Pastor feature for today.
AWR.
One thing we do realize is that outbreaks will continue and they'll come in different forms. Just two or three years ago, we were battling with COVID. Here they are battling with cholera. So the question is, what is the next outbreak? How can we better be prepared for it? So as part of emergency response measures that are supposed to be put in place, one is ensuring that you have resources available for the emergency response.
Yeah.
This and more on Glorious Morning, only on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.